Hey, how you doing? I could do American.
Yeah, that's fine.
I've prepared something for this morning. I've just got a feeling that we're going to go off piste a little bit. I just feel that the Lord's going to do some things in our midst this morning. We're going to look at the scriptures in a moment, but we're going to respond. I've just sensed hunger in the room this morning. You hungry for God? Yeah, he loves to meet a hungry heart. And so he's got blessing to pour into your life this morning. And as a church, that guy yesterday who preached the gospel during the wedding, wow. He preached the gospel to, what, a billion people across the planet? What an opportunity. And praise God for that man's faithfulness. Because it would have been easy for him not to, just to kind of, this is a, you know, Church of England, religious service, royal family, let's just play it safe, but he didn't. Isn't that like Jesus? Yeah, so God's going to honour the preaching of his word. Okay, we're going to read from John's Gospel this morning. If you've got a Bible, John chapter 7. And Jesus was at one of the Jewish festivals. And so the scene is set, surrounded by crowds of people, all who in their way are trying to seek God and honour God through the systems of the Jewish forms of worship. And then Jesus, as the anointed one, as the Son of God, came and stood amongst them, and it says, on the last and greatest day of the festival. So we're going to read from verse 37 of John chapter 7. And it says this: on the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Let's just pray. Lord, we love and we honor your word, because your word is life to us. Thank you that your word goes deep to the to our innermost being, Father, and even divides between soul and spirit. Father, it exposes the motives of our hearts. Father, it causes us to live in truth. And so we honor your word, and we come under your word this morning. And we believe, Lord God, that life will come to us because of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you've probably, if you've been around for a little while, I may have shared with you the story of how I first encountered the power of the Holy Spirit. If you can't remember, or if you're new, this will be interesting for you. If you have heard this before, then just sit tight. But when I was a brand new Christian, I was 18, and we had, as a church, joined. I joined a life group, and we were meeting to study the Word of God, and we would kind of sometimes decide to pray around Corby and jump in the car and go from this place to this place. And all I can say is when I became a Christian, my whole life did change. I remember saying to somebody once that when I met Jesus, it was like the color came on in my life. So I began to see things around me that I hadn't seen before. And I began to love people around me in a way that I had never loved people before. It's because, as Rachel said last week, what was dead inside me, my spirit came alive when the Holy Spirit came into my life. So I knew Jesus, and I loved Jesus, and I wanted more of Jesus in my life. And I remember I used to be so passionate about God and passionate about his church. I wanted to just be around Christians. And so I surrounded myself with Christians. I'm looking at Joyce and Alistair over here, who were part of the church where I got saved and probably were praying for me with Alan and Carol the night I got saved. And I remember my life was transformed. A lady called Jean Heath, who is now my sister-in-law, it was her fault that Maggie and I met. Maggie's fault. It was because of her, the blessing that came because of that. Yeah. And so Jean was my youth leader. And so she met with us as young people on a Sunday night. And I remember that she put a few books in my hand. And one of them was Chasing the Dragon. And it was a book about how this brave young woman, in obedience to the call of God on her life, jumped on a boat, sailed to the other side of the world, arrived in Hong Kong, and began to witness to the triads, the gang members in Hong Kong. amongst the people who were the most unreached in that country. And she began to see incredible things happen, but her ministry became busy. And I remember reading in this book that when she would travel from place to place, she would pray in tongues. So she would be in the car and or on the bus, and because she hadn't got a lot of time to have a devotion, she would just pray in tongues. And she said that when she began to pray in tongues, when she preached the gospel, people would get saved. There was a power that she hadn't had in her life before that she was now experiencing. And when she prayed for those who were coming off heroin and strong addictions, they came off without any side effects. And she began to see incredible things happen. In fact, some of the triad leaders became Christians, and they put them in houses where they would disciple them. Amazing, amazing things would happen. Anyway, so I didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but I knew that I wanted this gift of tongues. And if you don't know, the gift of tongues is the ability to praise, to pray, to give thanks in a language that you haven't learned. It's given by the Holy Spirit, and it's your spirit communing with God. It bypasses the filter of human reason and understanding, and it's your spirit crying out to God or praising God or giving thanks to God. And so I asked God for this gift. And I remember I was at every opportunity just saying, Lord, would you give me this gift of being able to pray in tongues? If only you gave me this gift, I would be convinced that you are the supernatural God that I read about in the Bible. I believe in you, Lord, but I'm so sure that if I received this gift of tongues, that I would believe in you even more. And so I was praying those kind of naive prayers because I was a new Christian. I didn't understand a lot of things, but he saw the hunger in my heart. And it was months. I prayed for months for this gift. And sometimes I doubted that I would even receive this gift. And then Faye came back from university, and she said, oh, there's a teacher at our school. His name's Mr. Booth. And Mr. Booth was the first person who ever shared the gospel with me. So when we were on a school trip, he took me up a hillside, and me and my friend, he witnessed to us. He said, have you got any questions? And we said, no questions. Went down the hill, said, that was weird. But Faye said he'd be so encouraged to know that you've become a Christian. And so I went with Faye, and we went to visit Mr. Booth. And we told him I'd become a Christian. And I also told him that I was really hungry to receive this gift of tongues. And so he prayed with me. He took me into one of the side rooms in our craft department, and he laid his hand on my head. Now, I came from the Baptist church where they prayed in tongues, it sounded a little bit like this. So it's kind of under their breath. It wasn't a Pentecostal church. So I'd never actually heard somebody pray out loud in tongues before. And so he laid his hands on my head, and the Africans in the room, all I can say is he sounded like an African man, but he was white with a big beard, and he prayed for me, and I had my eyes closed. He sounded like a man with real authority, sounded like an African dialect, and he prayed, and it was powerful. The next day, I was sitting in my bedroom at home, and I was just repenting of a few things. There were a few things that I hadn't really dealt with since I'd become a Christian. And I said to the Lord, Lord, if now is the time, I just pray, Lord, that you'll give me this gift of tongues. And I gave my tongue to him, so I just made some sounds. And by the way, if you're seeking the gift of tongues, sometimes it will happen without you asking. So, you know, even recently we've had examples of people who have just been praising God and tongues have come out, and it's just wonderful. But if you are seeking the gift of tongues, give him your tongue. Make some sounds and see what flows. It'll be like a bubbling up from inside, and then it'll pour forth this speech. And I remember on that day, I was just sitting on my bed, and then suddenly this language came out of my mouth, and it was a fully formed language. It wasn't something I'd learned or heard. It just flowed from my innermost being, and it came out of my mouth. And accompanying that gift came joy, and my life just was filled with joy, and I began to laugh. There was just this joy that came out, and then I began to weep as I felt the Holy Spirit cleansing me, and I began to laugh, and then I began to weep, and then I went downstairs and I laid my hands on my dog and prayed for him in tongues as well. And he was healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably. He tried to tell me, but I couldn't understand. I needed a gift of interpretation. So all I can say is before that moment, I loved Jesus. After that moment, when my life was filled with the Holy Spirit, when I experienced his fullness in my life, it felt like the light came on. And instead of knowing Jesus from a distance, I felt like at every moment I could just reach out and touch him. I felt more in love with him than I had ever been before. I felt more clean inside. I felt like when I read the scriptures came alive because everything that I was reading was happening to me. It was my own experience. And the Holy Spirit filled my life. And this is what happened. I loved Jesus more. I wanted to glorify Jesus more. I couldn't believe, in fact, that the people around me didn't believe that he was real because he was so real to me. Everything changed. I received the gift of tongues. I was also baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what we read today was Jesus' words to a group of people who were seeking God in their own way, but hadn't yet experienced the fullness of God. And the promise was still to come. And we're going to look at the promise fulfilled in a little while. But let me just remind you of some of those words. It says that on the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Is anyone thirsty here today? Is anyone thirsty? What Jesus knew about these religious people at this festival was that they were trying to go through the forms of worship that had been presented to them, because in their own way they were seeking God and trying to honor God and give glory to God and all of those things. But they knew that there was more. They knew that there was something more. There was a thirst inside them for more. And Jesus was saying, listen, there is more. There is more, but it's not through the forms, and it's not through the systems, and it's not through the things that have been presented you through the centuries. He says the source of everything you're looking for, the fulfillment of that satiating of that thirst that you have inside you, is not religion, it's not the forms of worship, it's me. And he was saying, if you come to me, come to me, and I will satisfy that thirst. If you are thirsty, he says, come to me and drink. And he says, whoever believes in me, let me say this. This promise of the fullness of the Holy Spirit is for everyone who believes. So this morning, if you are a Christian, this promise is for you. He says, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, the word declares that this promise is real. Look in Joel, look in Isaiah. Rivers of living water will flow from within them. And you remember the lady who Jesus met at the well, do you remember that? Do you remember she was this Samaritan woman, this woman who was an outcast from her community, somebody who was despised, somebody who had done things that brought shame on her and shame on her family. And so she didn't go with the women in the coolest part of the day. In the midday sun, she went on her own to draw water. This water, the same water every day, the same water every day in her bucket that she took home to fill her pans and to drink from, the same water. But this day, she met Jesus, and Jesus said, will you give me a drink? But you haven't got a bucket. Listen, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask, and he would give you living water. Do you remember? Living water. And so Jesus is saying the same thing at this festival. He says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Now I want to take you to a passage in the Old Testament. If you have your Bibles, can we go to Ezekiel chapter 47? The crowd who would have known the scriptures when Jesus talked about rivers of living water flowing from within them would have been mindful of a passage that they would have read in the prophet Ezekiel. And in Ezekiel 47, he has a vision of a temple. Now, there was a temple, an actual physical temple. This wasn't a vision of that temple. This was a vision of a different temple. And this temple he saw had a river flowing. And it says this river flowed from the threshold of the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, the place in the temple where the presence of God was most perfectly found. So behind the curtain the place where only the high priest and once a year could go. Do you remember the temple? So the temple had different areas to it. So there was the outer court where the Gentiles could gather. Then there was an inner court a bit further in where the women could gather. And then there was the court of the Jewish men. And then beyond that, there was the area where only the priests could go. And then beyond that, the place where only the high priest could go. And only once a year after rigorous cleansing. And that was the most holy place. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the presence of God could most perfectly be found. And in Ezekiel's vision, he saw a vision of this river flowing from the threshold of the Holy of Holies. And it flowed as a trickle past the altar and through the courts and out through the gates, and then it went beyond the temple. And it says that this river became deeper. I don't know how far a cubit is, but it was 1,000 cubits. He walked and it was up to his ankles, and then 1,000 cubits more, and it was up to his knees, this river that was flowing, and then 1,000 cubits more, and it was up to his waist, and then it was too deep for him to stand in. In other words, he was out of his depth in this river. And this river symbolized the presence of God. It was flowing from the presence of God. It was a picture of the Holy Spirit. And what happened where this river flowed was that life broke out. So in the river were fish, all kinds of different fish. Life was in this river. Around the river, on each bank of the river, were trees. And these trees had fruit that was there all year round, for feeding, and leaves that it says were for the healing of the nations. Do you remember that? And where did this river flow to? It flowed to the Dead Sea. Who here has been to Israel in the last few weeks? Oh, so there are some of you. I knew that. And the Dead Sea is one of the lowest places on earth. So it's actually lower than sea level. And things flow into it, but nothing flows out of it. It's dead. You can float in it because it's full of so many salts and minerals and things. There's no life. There's no fish. There's no vegetation. It is dead. And this river in Ezekiel's vision flows into the Dead Sea. And what happens? Death is transformed into a place of life. And so people are around there and they're fishing and it's teeming with life because the river of God flows into it, a picture of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says to the crowds this day at this festival, he says, listen, come to me and drink, and from within you will flow rivers of living water. Why is that important? It's important because the imagery is so powerful. If you think of in Ezekiel's vision, how the river flowed, and wherever the river flowed, there was life. Let me say to you this morning, the Holy Spirit in you brings life. He brings life to you and to your mortal body, and through you, if you become a channel of the Holy Spirit, he brings life to those around you. Nourishment, healing, he is the life-giving Spirit. And so he says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. But it's interesting as this passage goes on, because he says, this was talking about the Holy Spirit who had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. What does glorified mean? Well, turn with me to John chapter 17. Jesus lived on the earth. He was born, he was eternal, but born as a man, walked amongst us. He died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Shortly after that, he ascended to the right hand of the Father, where today he sits, and we await his return to take those who belong to him to be with him where he is. And so while he was on the earth, he said to his disciples, listen, it's good for you, and Rachel talked about this last week as well, it's good for you that I go away, because unless I go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. And in John 17, chapter 1, he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. A bit further down it says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Let me say this. Before the Holy Spirit was poured out, the disciples wanted to be around Jesus. He was the most amazing man who had ever walked the earth. He was like us, but without sin. He was loving, he was gracious, he was kind, he was meek but powerful. He had authority but gentleness. He was the most incredible person who had ever lived. He was God in human form. And so the disciples, they loved to be with Jesus. And they were saying, Jesus, we don't want you to go away. We don't want you to leave us. And Jesus was saying, well, listen, it's better for you if I go away. Because if I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And you will know me in a more perfect way than you've ever known me, because he lives in your life. At the moment he's with you, one day he will be in you. And so Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Speaking of the Holy Spirit who would one day be poured out. Let me say, when somebody gives you a present, you receive it as a present, don't you? So you don't receive it as a wage. So if I were to say to Graham, Graham, I've got a present for you. I would love to give it to you. And you'd say, well, about time. About time you gave me a present. I deserve a present. It's my right. You wouldn't do that, would you? You might if it was your salary and your salary was being withheld because you've earned your salary. But when a gift is offered to you, you receive it as a gift with thankfulness. And so the Holy Spirit is described as a gift. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was about to be poured out. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus, before he ascends to the Father, speaks of the gift that was just about to be given. So you're getting excited. Acts chapter 1. He says, having just given the great commission to his disciples to go into all the world, he says, wait, 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 do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then they gathered around him and he said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He says, don't leave Jerusalem, because the work that the Lord has given you cannot be done in your own strength. But my Father is about to give you the gift that I spoke about, which is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In a few days' time, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when John the Baptist was speaking about Jesus? He would say, listen, I baptize with water, but one is coming after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am unworthy to untie. I baptize with water. He baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so I'm going to take this imaginary sponge, and I'm going to dip it into my imaginary bucket. You're watching, it's dry. Ooh, look at the dripping of that sponge. Now look at as I squeeze this sponge. So while it was dry and outside of the water wasn't in it, but then I put the sponge in the water, and the water filled the sponge so that what was outside the sponge was now in the sponge. And when I squeezed the sponge, what came out of the sponge was the water that had been dipped into. When we baptize something, imagine a sinking ship. The water that was outside the ship suddenly becomes inside the ship. Imagine when we dye wool in dye. The dye that was outside the wool now becomes part of the wool. It becomes saturated with the dye. And the same thing applies to us as Christians. We can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That means that the fullness of the Holy Spirit, whom we talked about a few weeks ago, is God, also a person, not a thing. He's described as fire and wind and oil and all of those things, but he's not an it, he's a person. And our lives can be baptized, consumed by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. And the language in Acts is of pouring out. It's about of receiving something that's being poured out into our lives. And so before this moment in Acts, in the Acts of the Apostles, before Jesus was raised to the right hand of the Father, Jesus was saying, wait, because the Holy Spirit is about to be poured out. And then in Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, today is the day of Pentecost, hallelujah. By the way, Darren, who was with us last week doing the outreach on his Facebook this week, he said, oh, I just heard this week that there's a special day to celebrate the outpouring of the Spirit. He says, silly me, I've been doing that every week. So yeah, the Holy Spirit was poured out and stayed and remained so we can experience his presence every day. It says, all of them, suddenly the sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And so the Holy Spirit, for the first time, was poured out on all flesh in fulfillment of the prophecy in Joel that said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And so, in fulfillment of that which was promised as a gift from the Father, the Holy Spirit was poured out on his church, and everything changed. Everything changed. The Apostle Peter and the disciples who had been cowering away in private, seeking the Lord and crying out to the Lord, who had a few weeks before, just in fear of his life, denied Jesus three times. He filled with the Spirit and filled with a new boldness. He came out of the upper room and he went out into the streets. And to the crowds of people who were gathered for the festival of Pentecost, he began to preach the first gospel message. And he proclaimed that those who were present were guilty of the death of the Son of God. And people were cut to the heart and said, what do we need to do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the difference in Peter was remarkable. The difference was the Holy Spirit. Let me say this about the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, it says that if we do not have the Holy Spirit, we do not belong to Christ. Verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. We do not belong to Christ if we do not have the Holy Spirit. Let me say, every single believer has the Holy Spirit. You cannot be born again apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is remarkable. He leads us into all truth. He glorifies Jesus in our lives. He awakens faith in us. He brings our spirit to life. He makes us clean. He sanctifies us and makes us holy. He makes us like Jesus from one degree of glory into another. He produces fruit in our life. He gives us spiritual gifts. He empowers us as ministers of the gospel, and he brings us freedom. There is no Christian life apart from him. He is the key to the Christian life. Every person who names the name of Jesus has the Holy Spirit in them. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, Jesus says, you can only enter the kingdom of God by being born again. Born again? Born again? I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? No, no, no. Flesh gives birth to flesh. But Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives birth to our spirits. We must be born again. When we come to Christ, we're not just religious. We don't just add religion onto our lives. He brings our spirit alive. We are regenerated. He gives life to us. The Holy Spirit brings life to our mortal bodies. And so every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1 says something very similar. It says, when we believed, we were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Here's the question, though. Does the Holy Spirit have every Christian? Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have every Christian? Christian, let me be honest with you. I try really hard to pray. Sometimes I find it hard to pray. Sometimes I try really hard and fail. Anyone else? Sometimes I get stuck in patterns of behavior that don't glorify God. Sometimes I feel powerless to overcome. But here's the promise that the Holy Spirit brings to our life. That we will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. He is the key to the Christian life. So we have the Holy Spirit, yes. But does the Holy Spirit have us? The answer to that isn't always yes, because we haven't fully yielded to him. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the fullness of God in our lives. He is the one that gives us power to speak. He is the one who gives us power to serve. He is the one who pours the love of the Father into our hearts so that we can love people in Jesus' name. He is the one who brings breakthrough. He is the one that breaks every chain. It's the yoke of the Holy Spirit that breaks the power of the devil in our lives. And so we need to be baptized to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you know what? A Spirit-filled life to most Christians in the Church of God, it looks unusual because it's not always what we see. And so we see people attending church. You know, we went to a wedding yesterday, and there's a guy who was just starting out in ministry, I think, and he took the wedding and he couldn't make eye contact. He looked really nervous. He didn't smile a whole lot at the beginning. He gave a whole lot of a list of, you know, don't turn on your phone and don't clap until this certain point. And when you leave the building, don't throw your confetti until you get outside. And there was a whole list of don'ts. And I was sitting there thinking, but what can we celebrate? When can we show joy? And I was thinking, everybody in this room who didn't know the songs and they probably never had gone to church, they thought this was Christianity. They thought that this was what, they might have thought this was the sum total of Christianity. And I thought to myself, if this was all Christianity was, I wouldn't want anything to do with that. Where the Holy Spirit fills our life, he's called the Spirit of Jesus. And Jesus is the most wonderful, the most meek, the most perfect, the most glorious, the most majestic, the most loving, the most incredible. I've run out of words already. He's awesome. Jesus is awesome. And he puts his Spirit in us so that we can be like Jesus on this earth. Hallelujah. And so the Spirit-filled Christian life is the normal Christian life. Even if to some people it looks like an unusual Christian life. A life led by the Holy Spirit. Come here, Faye. Right. I'm an autonomous, sovereign person, okay? Faye is the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians 5 it says, keep in step with the Spirit. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify or give in to the desires of your sinful nature. Instead, you'll produce fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we keep in step with him, if we walk by him. Come on, Faye. Lead me. Oh, no, I want to go this way. Oh, that looks really interesting. Maggie! Oh, I love you so much. You're one of my favorite idols. Okay. So thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What happens when the Holy Spirit leads us is we go in his direction, and the sinful nature in us, our flesh, is trying to pull us off to do things that we want to do, to give in to those desires, to, you know, the lusts of the flesh and the, you know, the desires that we have as we look at the world and the things of the world. We get enticed by materialism and possessions and reputations and careers and all of those things. We give in to those things if we're doing it on our own, because we haven't got the resources to live the Christian life. Religion can't help you. The law can't help you. It's powerless to defeat the cravings of our sinful nature. Powerless. And so when Jesus calls us to live obedient lives, this is what happens. He says, you don't have to do it on your own. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. This isn't a powerless religion that I'm offering you. It's a spirit-filled life. I'll give you my word, and I will give you my spirit, and he will enable you to do the things that on your own you're not able to do. You cannot overcome the sinful desires of the flesh. You cannot be victorious. You cannot be an overcomer apart from the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so he's saying, don't just invite the Holy Spirit into your lives on a Sunday. Don't just come into his presence at a conference or on a Wednesday at your life group. Don't just invite him to come and give you an experience. Make him Lord of your life. Follow him as Lord, and he will lead you, and he will guide you. He will make you holy. He will empower you. He will put words on your lips. He will put love in your heart. He will enable you to live in freedom. He will cleanse you from the inside out. He will make you like Jesus. Hallelujah. Church, how can we possibly do this without him? Now let me say this, right? I'm going to take you on a quick tour of some scriptures in the Acts of the Apostles. Some people say to me, well, Damien, you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit the moment you believe. You have everything you need, the kind of Christianity that you need. He gives you everything. In one sense, that's true. But we don't always access the fullness of everything we have in him. And so it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, some people would say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and tongues are connected, that when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you'll speak in tongues. I don't know if that's true. As my experience, it's many of your experience too. But Billy Graham didn't speak in tongues. Just saying. And he was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. But what they did see was evidence of the Holy Spirit baptizing them. It's not something that will happen to you quietly and in a corner. That's what I'm saying. People will be able to see in your life a difference when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, some of you here before haven't experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit in that way. And this morning, if he baptizes you, expect that people will begin to notice the difference. It might even be in that moment worship rises up in you. It might be that he gives you another language. It might be that you begin to prophesy. Wouldn't that be exciting? It might be that he releases spiritual gifts in your life and you're able to do things that you weren't able to do before because he has empowered you to do them. Wouldn't that be exciting? So there was evidence. So that's in Acts 2, and a little bit later on, it says of the same group of people in Acts 4 that after they prayed, so there was a disturbance and the disciples were taken before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, and they were commanded not to speak in this name, in the name of Jesus anymore. And so it says that they gathered together and they prayed and they said, "Now, Lord, consider their threats, but enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. Boldness came upon them. And then a little bit later on in Acts chapter 8, this is the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul had met with Jesus on the Damascus Road, and it said that when he met him, he heard Jesus speak to him. He says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It's difficult to kick against the goads." And he made Saul go blind, sent him to Tarsus, and made him wait for a man who would come later to meet with him. And so that's in Acts chapter 9, Ananias came to the house where the Apostle Paul was and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." In Acts chapter 8, the disciples came to Samaria where the gospel hadn't been preached, and believers had begun to respond to the gospel. And so some of those who were known to be apostles in Jerusalem went to Samaria to check out what God was doing. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, it says, had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, so they had believed, but had not yet received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And it says at that point, Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And then there was a guy watching, and he was a believer. His name was Simon, but he had been messed up in all sorts of kind of sorcery and magic and stuff. And Simon saw that the Spirit had been given. So something had happened in the lives of these believers that Simon saw. There was power. There was probably speaking in tongues. There may have been prophecy. It was certainly worship, maybe boldness. And Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands. And he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone whom I lay hands on receives the Holy Spirit." And the apostles weren't too happy about that. But here's the thing. Simon saw the difference in these believers after they had received the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 10, at Cornelius' house, Cornelius was a Roman, and he invited Peter to come and to minister to his household. And it talks about Peter preaching the gospel message. And it says, while Peter was still, while Peter was still speaking these words, verse 44, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And so this was one of the first times where non-Jews had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was evidence of the grace of God. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then later on, in Acts chapter 19, the apostles came to Ephesus. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They said, "No, we've not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. And Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." And on hearing this, on hearing the gospel, it says they were baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were fully saved. They were Christians now. And it says, when Paul then placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So the Holy Spirit. All of us have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Each one of us has his presence in us if we name the name of Jesus. If we have been born again, the Holy Spirit, who is God, the person of the Holy Spirit, he has come to live in us. But there's more. As we yield our lives to him, he fills our life with his presence. The language is one of receiving. It's one of receiving a gift that has been promised. And Jesus says, to those who believed, it would be like rivers of living water flowing from our inmost being. I had a dream a couple of nights ago, and it was a dream about you. And in the dream, I was handing out parcels of land, and I was giving each one of you a piece of land. And I felt the phrase that accompanied this dream as I was waking up was, he wants to extend our territory. Now, I don't think he's talking geographically. It'd be wonderful if the Lord adds to our number. We would love to see more people saved and added to our number. Of course we would. But what I believe the Lord was saying is, he wants to make us bigger people. He wants to expand our lives. And some of us have had a very small experience of God. Some of us have had a very small experience of ministry. I believe that what the Lord wanted me to do today through a blessing is to hand you a parcel of land that's bigger than the one you're currently standing on, so that you expect more of God, experience more of God, and step out with more faith and boldness into the things that God has for you. You up for that? Now, I can't do that for you. The Lord, his heart is to expand you. is to make you bigger, to increase your faith, to increase your effectiveness for the kingdom of God, to fill your life with his fullness. If you've experienced anything less than the fullness of God, and your heart this morning is hungry for more of him, then you can have as much of him as you desire. Hallelujah. If you are thirsty for the rivers of living water and you feel that you're up to your ankles in this river, then you can go 1,000 cubits deeper up to your knees and 1,000 cubits deeper up to your waist, and then you can be out of your depth in his presence. Is that what you want this morning? If you desire to be filled with the fullness of God through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can have as much of him as you desire, and he will fill your life with his fullness. You have to start by knowing that your Father is a good Father and that he gives good gifts to his children. And the Holy Spirit is a gift that he wants to give to his children. He desires to fill our lives with his presence. This morning, church, you can have as much of God in your life as you are willing to have. But do not seek him for an experience. He will bless you and it will be an amazing experience, but he is the Holy Spirit. And he comes to make us holy. He is the Holy Spirit. He is God, the Lord. He wants to be the Lord of our lives. He wants to lead us and guide us. There'll be some things we want to do where he forbids us. We're able to grieve him. We're able to resist him. But he wants to be Lord of our lives. And so if you're asking this morning, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, what you're not asking is for a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling to surround you and for your hands to shake. That may happen. But what you're asking is you're saying, Lord, I submit myself to you. I surrender myself to you. All that I am, I give to you. I make you Lord of my life. I repent of going my own way. I turn to you, Almighty God. Lead me, guide me, fill me, empower me, perfect me, sanctify me, change me into the likeness of Jesus through the power of your Holy Spirit in this place. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. You're so welcome in this place. You are awesome and powerful and majestic and glorious, and you can do all things. You were present at creation, brooding over those things that the Father had spoken into existence. You are the one who anointed the kings and the priests and the prophets in the Old Testament, Father, Holy Spirit. You are the one who filled John the Baptist even before he was born with your presence. You are the one who was poured out on the church so that every single person who names the name of Jesus doesn't have to flounder around in weakness and brokenness, be bound up in chains, and stay in the place where you found them. You give them power to live the Christian life. You are our all in all, Holy Spirit. Come now on your children. Fill your church with your presence. Be glorified now in your midst. Show us your glory. Holy Spirit, come. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit this morning, I invite you to open your hearts wide open to your Father who loves you. And say, Lord, I know that everything that you give me is good. I am not afraid to receive what you will give me this morning, because what comes from you is good and only good and always good. Send your Holy Spirit in power. Come upon us like in days of old. Come to anoint our lives. Come to fill us so that from within us, from our most innermost place, from the Holy of Holies within us, our spirit will flow rivers of living water that will bring life, and healing to the nations. We need you, Lord. We need you. We cannot do this without you. We are so desperate for you. We're so thirsty, Lord God. We are so thirsty. You know, in the prayer meeting before the service began this morning, We were praying, and two different people at two different times, one came in a bit later, prayed the same prayer, and it was this: Lord, we don't want just a trickle. We don't want just a trickle. We want a torrent. We want a tsunami of your presence. And let me say this about a tsunami. I was just thinking about this when they were praying. A tsunami, when it comes, just before it reaches the land, it sucks all of the water away from the land and it goes really far out. You remember seeing those images on the TV? We live in a society at the moment that seems completely barren. Barren of godliness. Barren of the evidence of God's presence. People have rejected God. As a nation, we have turned away from God. Our government has rejected the word of God and put legislation in place that dishonors God. We live in a society where it looks like the water has receded, has receded, has receded, but that happens just before the tsunami hits. And Lord, we pray this morning, Lord God, as we see the waters receding, and we see the waters receding, and we see the waters receding, Lord, that the tsunami, the wave of your spirit will break across this nation. Lord God, we don't want devastation. We don't want brokenness like a tsunami wave would bring, but we want you to consume this nation with your presence. We want Jesus to be lifted up. We want your name to be glorified. Come now and fill your people. Come now and fill your church. Come now and fill this nation with your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. You don't want a trickle this morning, Christian. You want the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. Why don't you stand to your feet with me? Father, we ask because we know that you are more willing to give than we are to receive. We ask. We don't beg you. We don't twist your arm behind your back. We don't we don't come, Lord God, with anxiety in our hearts, Lord. We don't come in that posture at all. Lord, we come just to receive what you would love to pour out into our lives this morning. Holy Spirit, come now. Right across this place. Just receive him, church. It might be that you even have a physical posture of receiving. I don't know how you would receive a gift, but for me, I would reach out my hands and I would say, Lord, I receive your gift. I receive what you want to give to me. This morning, Lord, everything that you have, I want it. I want the fullness, Lord God. I don't want just the part, Lord God. I don't want just the trickle, Lord. I want the fullness this morning, Lord God. Ask him. Ask him now and receive from him now. He has so much that he wants to pour into your life. You have the Holy Spirit. Say to the Spirit this morning, you can have me. I surrender my life to you afresh. Fill my life with your presence. Fill my life with your presence. Fill my life with your presence. If you want to receive the gift of tongues this morning, might sound strange, but give him your tongue. La, 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 la. Give him your tongue and see what happens. We're at Encounter a month ago, and Alan Morrill was just praising God, and out of his mouth flowed this new language, this tongues. And it might be this morning, as you're praising God, as you're waiting on him to receive the gift that he wants to pour out, that this will bubble up from within you, and from your mouth will flow this new language. Give your mouth to him this morning. Church, let's praise him. Let's praise him. Lift your voices and begin to praise him. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, King of Kings. We worship you, Lord of Lords. You're welcome here. Pour out your spirit. In Jesus' name we ask. For your glory's sake, for your kingdom's sake, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, upon your children. Your glory, God, is one. church. Some of the prayer ministry team are going to come around the room now. And if you'd like somebody to pray with you, to lay hands on you, to receive the Holy Spirit, just please, just indicate by raising your hand in the air. We're going to bring things down a little bit for a moment, because I don't want us to think that we have to be in an atmosphere of lots of noise and lots of sound. So in this moment, I just want you to, just you, in your heart, to reach out to the Lord. And just receive from Him the gift of the Holy Spirit, His fullness in your life. Holy Spirit, come now, right across this room. Every hungry heart, would you meet with them? Would you minister to them? Would you fill them? Every person who is thirsty, as they come to you, Lord God, would you so fill them that from within their innermost being would flow rivers of living water? Holy Spirit, we invite you to fill your children. Lord God, not as a one-off experience, just as we gather with other Christians, but the beginning of a life lived in submission to you, a life lived under your lordship, a life lived in step with you, led by you, walking with you. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh today. May people see the evidence of your presence in our lives. Come now, Lord.
Spirit breaker.
To what I believe God was showing me in that dream the other night, I just want to bless you, Hope Church. I want to bless you to receive the bigger portion that the Lord has for you, to increase your territory. Whatever that looks like for you and whatever that means for you, I'm going to pray a blessing over your lives and over your families, over your jobs, over your circles of influence. May, through the Holy Spirit's power, your territory be increased. May we as a church become bigger people with more faith, with more expectancy, with more evidence of the grace of God in our lives, with more evidence of the power of God flowing through us, with more evidence of His words on our lips, with more evidence of His love in our hearts. May He increase us as people, increase the territory that He has given us for His name's sake. And for His glory, increase us now, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen.